Welcome to North Star, where we lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our campus in Blacksburg, Virginia. You can learn more about North Star by clicking on our website, northstarfamily.org. Thanks again, and we look forward to seeing you next time at North Star Church.
In Acts chapter 2 through about Acts chapter 7, the apostles began preaching in the name of Jesus and doing miracles there in Jerusalem. We saw thousands and thousands of people coming to faith in Christ as a result of their witness and of their testimony. And so this morning, we just kind of want to open up. You don't have to stick to this outline. You could share whatever you'd like to share about how God has used the book of Acts in your life, or how God has used the messages and the application of these messages in your life over the past year. We're going to have a couple of interns. So Lindsay and Teddy, if you guys will go ahead and stand so I can see you. And always at our share services, this is our most awkward moment, is when I stop talking and we expect you to start talking. But we want to ask that if you're going to share something, if you just raise your hand and one of the interns will get you a mic and will share. And if you feel like God is leading you to share, be ready to raise your hand right after they share so that there won't be a lot of dead space in between our share times. But would someone be willing to kick off our share service today? Callaway, you are amazing. Thank you so much. Here comes Teddy with a microphone for you. And if you're going to go next, just kind of get that hand ready.
All right, so maybe this is a little bit more of a challenge in the share time. Sorry for the people behind me. Maybe I'll just spin around the whole time. In Acts 2, verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." So just briefly, the reason why they were sort of like living communally, because these early believers, if they came to Jerusalem from outside, they had nothing to go back to. They would be rejected by the other Jewish people. People wouldn't be employment. So they kind of had to commune together, you know. But I think the principle, it's not saying like the principle isn't to live like a communal communistic lifestyle or some sort of cultic communal lifestyle, but the principle that we're taught later through the New Testament is we're to care for each other. And I think a great deal of us want to do that, want to supply needs for our brothers and sisters in Christ, want to supply needs for each other. The biggest problem I've seen over the years is the pride of our Western culture, the self-reliance. We're hesitant to share needs, even with our brothers and sisters, to tell them what we need. So it makes it really hard if we're trying to care for each other's needs, if those needs are never expressed, you know. And I think a lot of times we don't want to talk about needs. We need things. We need money for a payment. We need something, you know. We're maybe a little embarrassed about that. But I would just challenge you to take the New Testament seriously, take Acts seriously, take other books like James and off the top of my head, there's so many others where it tells us to care for each other. So let's take that seriously so that we can all care for each other and meet each other's needs. And that's here a local thing, so that fit in the Jerusalem circle. So there you go.
Thanks, Callaway.
All right. I like telling stories, so I have a story. 5 years ago, North Star partnered with the Pregnancy Resource Center for a local mom who was a single mom, and she chose life. And so the ladies of North Star, I just showed up. I had nothing to do with the shower other than I was present. But they threw her this gorgeous Pinterest-perfect shower. They spoiled her rot and just made her feel like $1 million. And you could tell she was just glowing and gushing and showered her in gifts and love. And it was incredible. And so then she had this baby. He's a healthy little boy. And so then the ladies of North Star again showered her with love. And they brought her meals. I was able to go meet her and bring her a meal, and I sat down with her, and she just, you could just tell she was hungry for conversation and people to invest in her, and she told me all about her choice of how to feed the baby and why it was hard, but she was going to do it, and you could just see this resolve to love this child well. And so really didn't think anything of it, right? You just do that. That's what Acts tells us to do, is to serve and love others. And we're preparing to send our oldest to kindergarten, and we were at that big kindergarten orientation where they gather all the parents and everyone's nervous and looking around the room, and then they make you introduce yourself, which is kind of weird and awkward. But we did that, and as we're going around the room, there's this woman, and she looks so familiar. I was like, how do I know her? It was that woman. It was the woman that North Star threw a shower for. And what's so cool is 5 years later, she was welcoming the same milestone that I'm welcoming for our family. She's welcoming kindergarten and what it means to have her son thriving and healthy and well. And so I had to say something to her. And I walked over to her and I said, you probably don't remember me, but I remember you. And I said that I was from North Star, and she broke out into tears, and she gave me this death grip hug. And what she kept saying over and over and over again is, you just don't know, you just don't know, you just don't know. And she wouldn't let go of me, and then she looked at me in the face and hugged me some more. And then I got to meet her little boy, who was an infant when I first met him. So I guess bottom line from that is, I had such a teeny tiny part of it. I really just showed up a couple times. But the women of North Star and partnering with the PRC, which is a ministry we support, just really rallied to this woman's cause and made her feel as valuable and special as she is in the eyes of Jesus. And the impact of that and seeing it come full circle to and kindergarten means something to me. I mean, that's a huge milestone. And to see it all come full circle in this life milestone was just incredible. And, you know, we say don't go to church, be the church. I think that story just sums up what North Star is all about. So kudos to everyone here that has a part in it, whether it's, you know, donating to PRC or showing up to these events, just being there means something, or making a Pinterest perfect event for someone else in the community. It all means something.
Thanks, Caitlin. Anybody else like to share? Right over here, Teddy. If you'd like to share, get ready with your hand.
Hi, guys. So I guess my story to share is about the you will receive power part of the Great Commission, because I am not very powerful. I know a lot of you probably feel the same way. But I had the opportunity during the series in Acts, and while we're studying about what God's power is doing through the church as they're growing, to begin working on a Bible study with a couple different individuals, and one in particular that God really used, because, you know, if you've ever tried to evangelize someone who just has never heard about Jesus, it's just really scary, because you could say the wrong thing and mess them up forever, you know. So, you know, the prayer of my heart as I was going through this study with her was, God, just use something, just anything. I know I'm just kind of blabbing on about this book that's the Bible, right? But just please, God, use something. And I say this to brag on God, certainly never to brag on me, because I can tell you, I don't know what I said. It was kind of mush when I said it, because I was really nervous. But at one point near the end of the Bible study, she said to me, she looked at me and she was like, you know, I can tell, you know, I can feel the power of God when you talk about him. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of cool. You know, and then the very next time that I saw her, you know, we're talking about the Bible, we're wrapping up, and she was like, you know, I know that this isn't just an ordinary book, because I can tell, like, I can feel it has power and it makes a difference. It's not just a book. And that's a revelation that can only come from God. So that was a way that God really answered my prayer and poured out his power on such a simple little thing that I felt really incompetent to do. So I would encourage you through that story that even if you feel like, you know, I don't know what I'm saying, it's really just kind of mush in my mouth right now, to pray for God to work and to trust him, because he does work even when you really don't expect it.
Thanks, Megan. Anybody else? One right here. Thanks, Michael. Let's get that mic to Mike.
Good morning. Good morning. I would like to share my journey. I keep saying I told myself I wouldn't, but I'm going to say it about 24,000 times. I came to North Star last year, and I felt a lot like Saul. Going through Paul's journey as a Christian believing in Christ, I didn't know what it meant to believe in Christ. It was on my heart, well, okay, I believe in Christ, but why can't I come up with my aha moment? And the reason is because I have not given my life to Christ. I have been in the shadows, you know, looking out, saying, look at all those Christians, look how happy they are, I want to be just like that, but I haven't actually taken that step. Like everyone else, I like a good story. And I felt a lot of times like Paul in the fact that I've been going through all these rough things, and I've asked, you know, the Lord, please, you know, help me through this. And he has every time. And, I tell myself, why can't it be like back in the day where there's like chariots of fire and everyone's like battling and this and that? And like, man, that's really cool. Like, where's God and Jesus? And, you know, where's the devil at? Let's slay some demons. Like, come on. But the reality is that's why Christ died for us. That's why he died for us. So we didn't have to go through that. We didn't have to, you know, slay all these demons. And time and time again, I've been quote unquote in prison. I've been on a boat and through storms. I've been in, you know, when the odds are against me and everyone's like coming in, you know, Paul says, look out there again, and then he sees like the angels from heaven battling all the bad guys. So. Discipleship through Paul and going through the journey with your brothers in Christ, I feel that has been heavy on my heart lately. And discipleship is what it's all about. I'd like to be able to quote all the, you know, some scripture, but I'm a little nervous, so I don't want to mess it up. But that is why we're here, to help our brothers, to help our sisters through this journey. And I want to thank all of you who has helped me, mentor me, and those who need mentored. There's a lot of great guys out there, a lot of great girls. And thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Elizabeth, yeah. Are you really going
to
share for us?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Stand on up.
Okay.
This is her first time here, so I'm excited about this.
All right. I might cry because I'm feeling really emotional today. I have been going to a lot of different churches throughout my whole life trying to find the real spirit of Jesus that I felt in my heart. And this is the first time that I truly have felt it within this group of people. You guys are being the church, and I can feel it. I just got here. I just walked in that door, and I just came in, and it felt like a wave just whooshed over me, because your love is so amazing, and I just, I've never felt this before, and I just, what you guys were saying about needing to be together and not having a communist dictatorship, what he said over there, but just letting yourself... be loved and let other people know what you need. I can feel that in you guys, and I'm so honored to be here.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Wow. Let me close this time in prayer, and as I pray, our worship team will come back and prepare to lead us in worship again. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, the context is that the church had been growing. God was adding people to the body daily who were being saved. And then one day, Peter and John are walking into the temple, and they see this lame guy, and he's calling out, and he wants money. He's wanting alms from them. And Peter looks at him in verse 6, and he says, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And then it says, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And I just love that picture of someone who is just exposed to Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus for the first time and immediately becomes a walking testimony of his presence and his transformation. So let's pray. God, we love you so much. And we thank you for opportunities to share with one another what you've done in our life through Acts. And Lord, as we continue to worship you, as we continue to share, we just ask that you'd anoint the service, that you'd not let us leave here unchanged, but God, that we would be exposed to the power of your Spirit. We'd be encouraged, that it would provoke repentance, it would lead us to salvation, and that it would lead us to boldness to share the message of Jesus with others. In his name we pray. Amen.
Well, hello. So as we were singing that first song that we sang after the first share time, it was, "You Are Worthy of Your Name." I thought about that, and I've been thinking about that for a while since I first heard this song. Man, could you imagine if we served a God who wasn't worthy of his name? But we serve a God who is worthy of his name, right? And that is powerful. All those things that you sing about the Lord, that you read about the Lord, he's worthy of those because it's true. He does bring life, and he is salvation, and he does break chains, and he's worthy of those things. And so I was just, man, this is a really powerful time. I'm excited. As I'm standing there, I'm like, we could do this all day. Let's stay till 2 p.m. and just keep talking about how much Jesus has done in our lives, but we're not going to do that. So we're going to move to the next portion of our share time, which we just talked about Jerusalem. Now we're talking about Judea. And I was gifted with only talking about three chapters. So Acts 8 through 10 is kind of where we're going to focus in right here. And in these short three chapters, you see that a couple of amazing things happen. Saul is converted. His heart is completely changed from killer of Christians to on fire for Christ. We see that Saul is also appointed. He's appointed as the great missionary of the Gentiles. And then we see that Peter, he has this amazing conversation with Cornelius, and is the first time, this is big for us here at North Star, in the West, this is the first time we see that God has allowed salvation for all people, Gentiles. And so as we focus in for this share time, let's think about that God really has allowed us salvation. He didn't have to do that. And to sum up these three chapters, at the end of Acts chapter 10, Peter is sharing a sermon, and he says this in verse 34, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality." I believe that Peter at a time did not understand that. His heart had to be changed, and that's what God does. He changed his heart, and Peter was opened up to realize that God shows no partiality to the Gentiles, to the Jews, and you see it all throughout Acts. Paul preaches to the Jews and then to the rest of the world. So we're going to go into a share time right now, but I want to frame it up for you if you might be thinking about some things to say. But the questions are, where in your life has God opened up your heart to see that God does show no partiality outside of your Jerusalem? Maybe for the first time in your life, you realize that people from a different culture are really image bearers. Or maybe you saw for the first time that God was calling you to share the gospel with the person that you sit next to at work every day. But let's think about that as we go in. So when I'm going to stop talking, just like Jeff, we want a hand to go up. And you don't have to stick in that framework. You can also share whatever's on your heart. Over there, Teddy.
Hi, everyone. I've been going to North Star for almost a year now. My husband and I moved here last June, and a lot of things have happened since we moved. One being that, I'm sorry, I'm going to cry. I just know it. We met this man named Paul, and it was definitely a God thing that we met him. We first saw him working at Bojangles, and we didn't talk to him then, but then we saw him again at Zaxby's, and we did talk to him that time, and we said, hey, I thought you worked at Bojangles, and we just struck up a conversation, and we found out that he's working about 3 jobs to try to put his son through college and deal with his medical expenses, and he shared that it was tough. But then we went back to Zaxby's again, and we saw him, and so we talked, and he opened up to us and just shared how difficult he was really, he was having a really tough time, and so we just started, we told him that we would pray for him, and we would mention him at our small group Bible study, and we started going back to see him continually after that, and he's definitely in the valley, and when we thought that he couldn't be in the darkness anymore, it just kept getting more and more heartbreaking. He shared with us that he may be homeless soon, and he keeps losing jobs, and he applies for jobs constantly and constantly, and it just seems like he's not catching a break. And so Ethan and I have tried to love on him and show him the hope that Christ has, but he shared with us that, you know, if there's a God, why would he do this to him? And he tells us that he wakes up every day wishing he hadn't. And it's just really hard to see that, to know that we have a hope in Christ that he doesn't. He doesn't see that light, and he doesn't have that hope that we do. And so we just try to keep sharing with him what we have and keep praying for him. We pray for him every day, and it's encouraging that we have this church to support us in order to support him, because we did share his need at our small group a few months ago, and it was just so nice to see that people who had no idea who this man was would step up and, you know, financially send money for him to buy food and to buy groceries and for gas to get to his job. And so I thank you guys for really being the church and helping us support this man who really desperately needs hope and needs Christ. And I thank God that I have this heartbreak for him, because I know that without him, I wouldn't feel the way that I do about this person that I barely know. And I'm just grateful that Ethan and I have been able to share the love of Christ with this man. So really, also, I just want to ask you guys to pray for Paul, because he's really at his wit's end, and I want to see him come to know Christ and know that there is a hope, but sometimes I really worry that he won't and that it will be too late. But that's one way that God has shown no partiality, because we've been able to share with this man who really is on the brink of wanting to know Christ but feels like he can't. And so I just ask you guys to please pray for him.
Thanks.
Has been impacted mine and Sarah's life. And I would encourage you, Paul is in a place where he doesn't feel like he has a support group. He doesn't feel like he has support at home. He feels like he has some support from a job, but he consistently tells us that he just appreciates our support so much. So I would invite you, Paul is working at Zaxby's right now, today in Blacksburg. If you want to go to lunch at Zaxby's, order from him at the counter and tell him you go to North Star Church, and that you just give him a word of encouragement. That is really what he needs, and that would bless his heart. And I just wanted to add that to what Sarah said, because it has really been an impact in our life, and we have really appreciated that God has shown this opportunity for us to serve him, and that he feels like our church. And if he wasn't working today, he would be here. He's consistently told us that he wants to come to church, so we're excited about that. But thank you very much.
Hey, guys. Oh, wow. My name is Erin, and I've been going here about 2 years. I'm going to cry. I wasn't going to wear makeup today, but whatever. about in, like, July or so of last year, I remember going to the river, and this kind of is out of what we were going to talk about, but we had gone over, or I was reading, Jeff actually had mentioned the scripture about, like, get up and walk, and so I had read in a like a devotional about like a different way to view that of like if we're stuck in something, like he's asking us to get up and walk, to get up and walk with God, to get up and walk with Jesus. And around that time, I was really like stuck with some things that I was struggling with. And that verse of just, you know, get up and walk. And sorry, I'm crying really hard right now. I just want to say that because of the grace that God showed Paul, that, you know, Jesus shows throughout the whole Bible, people that are in your circle are able to show grace to you. And I met countless times with people that probably were, like, banging their head on the wall of just, like, she's still dealing with this, that didn't give up on me, that continued to listen to me, continued to mentor me. So I just, I think that the body of North Star just shows that so well. And if it wasn't for the people that continued to meet with me and listen to me and just not give up on me, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And he's just blessed me with such an amazing group of friends that truly love me. And that's what I have to say. Sorry, I'm crying.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah. Does anybody else want to share this time? Jess.
All right, so I just have to brag on our youth a little bit. So I moved down to Blacksburg back in August from Canada. And when you pick up your life at 27 years old and move to a different country, like, it is, I mean, when you go to college, it's hard. But, like, when you're old and set in your ways, like, it's even harder. So when around October, I was like, you know what? I should get involved. I love the youth. I'm going to impart all my wisdom upon them. And they just floored me. Like, you have to know what an amazing group of youth this church has. Like, they are so full of love. They are so full of passion and pursuit of God. And they actually ended up changing my life and my heart and blessing my heart. Like, Emma Nelson's dad always says to me, thanks for Emma. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, thank you for Emma. Because, like, the first day I walked into youth, I was, like, nervous. Because even though I'm 27, I'm still kind of scared of high school girls. Mm-hmm. And so I was, like, nervous. I'm shaking kind of like I am now. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what is this going to be like? And Emma walks in, and Alex introduces me. And she just comes up and gives me, like, the biggest hug. And, like, these girls and the guys as well, like, they care so deeply for others and for Christ. And, you know, to see this generation of leaders that God is raising up, like, he shows no partiality in age either. Like, it's just incredible, and I am so blessed by them every week. And, yeah, I just wanted you all to know what kind of youth we have in this church and the next generation of leaders we have.
Thanks, Jess. Does anybody else want to share? Manny.
Hey, guys. My name is Manny. So I'm in D28 discipleship. And so in Acts, you know, the first chapter or second chapter that Calloway was talking about, where the new church, everybody was living in fellowship together, we read a book called The Master Plan of Evangelism. And that book was all about how Jesus was living in fellowship with his disciples. And that's how he taught. He taught through doing, through living with them. And they saw what he did, and they saw how he interacted with people, how he taught other people, how he helped other people. And so my wife and kids are out of town this week, so I'm by myself. And I've just had this burning desire to just fellowship with everybody here, like all my brothers and sisters in Christ. My week's kind of already starting to get filled up because I've been asking people, let's hang out, let's have dinner together, let's do things together. And discipleship has really just made me want to be closer to everybody in the church and live with you guys and in Christ.
Thanks, Manny. Well, at this time, we are going to show Cam's baptism video, and then we're going to go back into some worship.
Hey guys, My name's Julie Jewell, and I'm the Children's Ministry Director here at North Star, and I'm going to lead this last sharing session with you guys. So the last part of Acts is an awesome picture of what it looked like to live missionally. Paul traveled all over the Mediterranean preaching the gospel, and a lot of times he was persecuted, he was jailed, but that didn't stop him. And so we also know that his efforts weren't in vain, that there were a lot of churches that were formed during that time, and he wrote letters back to them throughout the New Testament. We know that he spread Christianity throughout that area, and again, he was jailed often, he was defending his faith constantly, but that didn't stop him from spreading the good news. So a few of the questions that we have for you during this last share session is, how have you been motivated to be a part of the greater church through this study of Acts? How have you continued the story of the apostles? And how have you stepped into your role of making Christ's name known to the ends of the earth? So these are just some questions that you can ponder for a few minutes. But again, you don't have to stick to these questions. It could be anything that's on your heart that you're willing to share. I get really nervous coming up in front of a bunch of people and sharing. I know a lot of you do too, but I would just encourage you to know that maybe something you share would touch somebody else's heart, something that they need to hear. So if God's laying that on your heart, you should do it.
Hey, so I'm Emma Nelson, it doesn't go with the theme again, but a lot of people have been talking about the church and as a foundation, so I just wanted to share something really quick, and I don't think I'm going to cry, so I usually do, but I can't remember the specific timeline, but like 2 or 3 months ago, I was diagnosed all of a sudden with ulcerative colitis. I was in the worst top 5% that you could, you know, ever have. I didn't know for a long time what was going on in my body, but I was admitted into Radford Hospital for about a week, and then when I came home, things had been looking up, and then my body was turning toxic, and I had to be rushed to the Roanoke Hospital for a week and a half. And then after that, you know, I came home, and I've been recovering, and I'm fine now. But during that time, I was really, really, really angry, because I had been fine. And then I was... and then I was diagnosed with this awful disease, and I didn't understand where it had come from, why it happened to me, and I was here missing out on about a month or two of life, but during that time, you know, I was really angry at God. I kind of wanted to die, because it was that bad, but during that entire time, he gave me an endless flow of people to just constantly tell me to trust God. So I have an amazing foundation with my family. I have so many people in this room that have kept me going. I have so many mentors in this church and so many just family, honestly. So I could never have done it. I would have been angry and bitter to this day. So, but with the people that have constantly keeping me grounded, that God has given me, you know, as a way, I'm here, and I'm happy, and I'm healthy, and I'm alive, and I am grateful to use my experience, you know, to help other people trust and faith, and put faith in God. So I just want to share that real fast. That's it. So I want to give this back to Lindsay.
Thanks, Emma.
Hello, my name's Emily. I've been at North Star for about a year. I just graduated from Tech in May. So a little backstory, starting in September, I'm going to Vienna, Austria as a missionary. And so Acts was just really instrumental in not only showing a picture of what it means to be a missionary, like physically, but what it is to live a missional life. And even more importantly, what it means to trust God to be your provider. So I definitely went through a really dry period the past month of like feeling really out of touch and frustrated and like angry about like why I wasn't excited as I should be or like why things weren't going the way that I thought they would be going, and just reading through Acts and settling in his word was definitely really encouraging, and realizing that just as Paul was in prison and went through jail and just faced all the struggles, and I'm sure like financial struggles or emotional or spiritual struggles, that God was a provider. So that was just been really encouraging. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey guys, I'm Alma, and wow, I just kind of blanked out. But there was this, when we were going through Acts, you know, when Paul and the other dude were in jail, and then they were praising God, and Jeff had said, you know, like, Paul knew that he was going to go through a lot of suffering when he accepted the ministry, and there was a quote said that it was, our circumstances are used for the salvation of others. And this past semester has been really rough, and it's still kind of bad. My parents, who are together for like 24 years, are getting divorced, and I'm an only child, so it's like kind of like trying to figure that out. And I'm still working through it, nowhere near close. like, you know, it's really taken a toll on the relationship that I have with my ultimate father. I'll try not to cry. but yeah, just like remembering like our circumstances are used for the salvation of others, and hoping that through this, like, I know, sorry, I know God has a bigger plan and purpose, and if he can use this even to bring one person to know him, like, it's totally worth it. So just, that quote was really strong, like, really powerful, and if you guys can remember it whenever you guys are suffering or circumstances are used for the salvation of others, that's just something that I've been holding on to. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Jennifer, and I've been going to North Star, I don't know, probably about 8 months. I came over from Radford. Just being in this study of Acts has been really good for me. I came to know the Lord about 20 years ago following a 9-month study in Acts. And as is true to God, his word is alive and ever-changing in our lives. And changing us. And so as we've gone through this study in Acts, he has used it to just remind me that he constantly wants us to be walking forward and stepping out in faith. And so he's used it to call me back out into the mission field. So I'll be leaving for Africa very soon to be serving overseas. But it's just been a constant reminder of, as we read through what Paul went through, it was never easy. He went through a lot of trials, but God was faithful and with him through every step and used it in ways that Paul never even knew. And so if we will step out in faith, that God can use us in ways we may never understand. And if we're willing to hold things loosely and step out in faith, one day we may get to see the fruit of how he's used us.
We have time for maybe two more. Okay.
I'll be fast. I wasn't going to share today, but then God had another plan. So as everybody's been speaking, you know, about evangelism, that's always been really hard for me. And I know there's other people that are very introverted and they struggle with that. But recently, I write and I'm online a lot, even though I really still struggle with social media, I still do it. Because I'm that introverted. But people, recently got another email where someone's like, are you a Christian? And they start talking to me, and just, I don't post that things like that, but it's just, sometimes people, I mean, people see your actions that do speak louder than words. And so, and like, I really struggle because I'm not very vocal, but God just keeps reminding me I am who I am. And like, I've been very wounded throughout my life. And there's a song that talks about the wounds are where the light shines through. And, like, I just know that there's people in here that have these wounds and they're afraid to share things. But when we just share our life and how God's helped us, our light can shine through whether we mention him or not. And it leads certain people to the Lord because everyone's different and we all can evangelize different. And then when we do need to speak, God will give us those words. And so just be open to just being you and trusting God and being vulnerable with others and, like, letting your wounds show, because
most of us are wounded, and God just, he wants to love on everyone, and you know, just knowing that he's, you know, he has healed me, but I still have those lights that shine through on those scars that just were able to touch other people.
Thanks, Angie.
Hello. Okay, cool. Hey, guys, I'm Frank. I'm a student at Tech. I'm going to be a senior coming up this year. When we started in Acts, I was actually kind of hopping around Blacksburg looking for a church. Just never had really found the right fit for me. So I was actually here one of the first Sundays that we were going through Acts and kind of been here since. So it's been really cool to be here for all of that. But there have been several points in Acts that have been good for me. I'm involved with CREW, Campus Ministry at Virginia Tech, and work pretty closely with the outreach team there. And we just try to, well, for one, reach the campus. That's kind of our job, but make it a normal thing. And for us, we've had our ups and downs with being successful in that. It's not an easy thing to share the gospel with people who maybe have never even heard about Jesus before or whatever it might be. But something that encouraged me, which was maybe not something you would think about, was in 17 when Paul was talking to the men of Athens, and he said, he's just basically preaching the gospel and says, being then the children of God, we ought not to think that divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man who he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, we shall hear you again concerning this. So Paul went out of their midst. That's kind of a lot like how it is for us on campus. And it's hard to remember that people sneered then too. And this is like, what, 50 years after Christ ascended to heaven. So that's just really encouraging to know that people are sometimes, you know, their broken natures shine through, and that's just how it is. And then the last thing that really encouraged me through Acts was when Jeff recounted like all the stuff that Paul went through with the shipwreck and the imprisonment, getting beaten, thrown out of places. But he was so intent on sharing the gospel that he didn't let that stop him. And I think about myself, am I, and us as an outreach team, are we so devoted to sharing the gospel that, you know, if we got beat up, would we still keep at it? You know, we are on our way somewhere in a shipwrecked, and we just barely survived with our life, and yet we continue on the journey. I mean, I don't know if my personal faith is there or not. So that was a huge challenge. And I've definitely been taking that into account this summer as I walk forward into next semester. So just want to say thanks, guys, for being a great church. And yeah, have a good Sunday, I guess.
Thank you. All right, well, I'm going to wrap us up in prayer. We appreciate you guys sharing. It's been an awesome Sunday. It's awesome to hear everybody's stories. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have the worship band come up one more time, I believe. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for just the opportunity to come in and to worship you. We thank you for people who have shared how your word has impacted their lives and that your word is real. We thank you that you give us the opportunity to share who you are and the hope that you've given us in life with other people. And we do pray for people who may not know you and may not know the peace and the joy and just the life that you give. We pray that they would come to know you. We thank you for baptisms and obedience in that, and thank you again for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you guys will go ahead and stand, we're going to end with a time of worship. As we prepare to worship, one of the instructions for the worship team was just to make much of Jesus, and we're going to close with just talking about how worthy he is. But I do want to just say a public thanks to our worship team today. I think they were at the reserve until about 10 o'clock Thursday night putting this together. And we are incredibly grateful for you guys and for how you've served us as a body, leading us into the presence of Jesus. So let's just thank the Lord for them, just with a quick round of applause.